time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Hey, thanks for checking in. Mitch, Paul with you live in Vegas, South Point Sportsbook for Paulie at the VSiN studio. And coming up in 5 minutes, a longtime friend here of the show and overall good guy, Dennis Bernstein, who is an NHL expert, is going to join the program. We'll get his likes and dislikes so far at the bubble, biggest takeaways that he has. Paulie, some trends in since the restart here for some of these sports in baseball now. Away team still hanging in there. They're 67-70 straight up. Three games below 500 for away teams. Favorites, 87-48. That's a 64% clip. And away favorites are 34-16, 68%. In the NBA, favorites are 14-10-1. Overs are 13-12. And in the NHL, you have favorites at 10-5-1 so far. Dogs 6-9-0-1.
Okay.
And then you have overs and unders. The unders have been the story at 12-4. But if you want to go back and include the scrimmages, obviously it's much better than that.
24-4. Yes.
24-4.
Yeah, Denny, wow. Denny put me on that as Dennis was tweeting about it. And I saw that all those games stayed under with the exhibition. So if you take out the Chicago Edmonton series, 24 of the 26 games have gone under. 24 of the 26 under. Weird first period with that Arizona-Nashville, and then the Knights game exploded in the last 10 minutes, and that went over, which was strange as well how that played out. The association, before we get to Dennis, we got that 17.5 at DraftKings, and Jeff makes it 18.5 with the early game. Nets and the Bucks, Nets without their top eight scores, and the Bucks can name their score. That's a good question, too, about the first quarter. So, give me a Bucks first quarter money line, please, limit. That'd be funny. First half too. And then the other games, a lot of these games should be three of the next four could be track meets. Dallas and Sacramento, 237 here at the South Point. I don't know what you're going to get out of Dallas. Two tough losses, mm-hmm. And Sacramento can't guard me right now. I mean, they've given up a ton of points, and both teams have shot over 50% in the two games in the bubble. So Sac's been horrible. Giving up 129 to San Antonio, and then what, a .130 to Orlando. Orlando, of all people. And they got run out in that game, never in it. But Dallas is locked into the 7. So I don't know how they treat it after they clinched the playoff spot and then blew a double-digit lead against Phoenix. Entertaining game. And then the Suns and the Clippers, that's 230.5. Clips laying 9. Suns 2-0 in Orlando. Clippers coming off the franchise record performance for threes. Up 30 at the half against the Pelicans. They hit 14 in the first half. And what was it, 24 for the game, the franchise record. 25 for the game, the franchise record. See if the Suns can hang around in that one, but that should be a high-scoring game. I like Celtics Heat under. Boston's won two low-scoring games in the first two meetings. Miami's 27th in pace, and they're on a back-to-back in a slugfest against Toronto. Boston 3.5 on TNT, and the nightcap, Houston and Portland. Houston 5-244. What a race for that 8-9 in the West.
Wild.
Yes.
Welcome into the program today. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, along with Paulie Howard. We'll talk to Dennis Bernstein coming up in a minute. We are on, obviously, very early. So during the NBA mm-hmm. season, a lot of times numbers won't be on the board. We're waiting to see what the official numbers are going to be on this Brooklyn-Milwaukee game. There is one number up that we talked about, Bucks Lane, 17.5. As you just said, Jeff Sherman makes it 18.5 at the Westgate. We'll see where it drops. I do see right now one book has just posted Orlando and Indiana. Orlando is laying 1.5, Paul, and the total is 224.
They're laying. Okay.
Orlando's laying 1.5 right now.
Surprising. Yeah. Yep. I like Orlando. I still like Orlando. Yep.
Okay.
Back-to-back for the Pacers, and Orlando's playing well in the bubble. How about Warren? Where did this come from? Guy's got 53-34 in the two of the games in the bubble. I mean, this is and Houston's averaging 136 a game in the bubble.
Well, but look, yeah, the Indiana scores. So what they score 111 yesterday, and they went crazy against Philadelphia. That's another thing to track. Philadelphia, playing great defense.
Right. No defense at all. Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. What a game that was yesterday. God,
I couldn't get my eyes off. It was so good.
The shot making, the athletic prowess and the ability, and DeRozan hanging, jumpers, fallaways, Embiid passing. Another big game out of Embiid. Simmons fouls out. Milton to take the shot. I was shocked down 3 with 10 seconds. He makes it. And the Spurs up four with a minute, they blow it. But that game had everything. It was a 75-76 point fourth quarter combined. Fantastic action.
Looked like you taking on a WNBA player years ago.
Sure.
Okay. Buddy, longtime friend here and NHL expert, writes for theFourthPeriod.com. You can find it pretty much everywhere covering this great league.
There
Dennis Bernstein joins the program. Good morning, pal. Thanks for the time. As always, it's good to see you. Out of the gates here, what are your likes and dislikes so far of the bubble?
I'm pounding the unders. I'm winning. There's nothing I don't look. The only thing I didn't like last night was the NHL employee throwing a couple of hats on the ice after Connor McDavid got a hat trick. But other than that, guys, we're talking about 13 hours of hockey, six games. It's amazing. It's wonderful. We'd like to see a little bit more scoring, to be honest, but it's flawless. Zero tests, zero positives out of 7,000 tests recorded yesterday. It couldn't have gone any better for this league. And you have upsets. You have, you know, look, I was picking Pittsburgh in two. Habs came out in the first game and won that game. It's just everything fans wanted back. And you can see in the action, people are definitely betting these games. And it's just fantastic, actually. It's really exceeded my expectations because, guys, nothing has gone wrong.
Yep. You said this a couple months ago, that it's going to be like the Olympics. And it is the Olympic feel. Games all day and one after another. I love that. What do you think of the overhead camera angle on when someone's on the power play? I love that.
It's okay for the power play. In normal play, I wouldn't want it to sky cam. And fans have to get used to it. It's not a normal view, but I think Sportsnet put in 32 cameras as opposed to 24, so you have more angles. I think it's cool for the power play to see how things are set up. But other than that, I just like the standard views that they have with respect to shooting the game.
I think they're calling too many penalties.
I don't think so, Paul. I think players got to get used to. Remember, they haven't played for 4.5 months. They don't remember that they can't put their sticks in people's gloves. So I don't have a problem with it. I think that they're trying to get more scoring as well. So I think some of these power plays have been gosh darn awful.
Yes.
Like last night, Chicago was awful. Chicago could have won that game last night too. And they were just horrific in the second period and wound up, you know, not winning that game. They still have a puncher's chance in that series. I do still like them. But I think the execution on the power play hasn't been great. Same thing with Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh executed in the first game. They would have won that game too. So I think it's a matter of, look, I drew the analogy when the game came back, that it would be like April baseball. Defense ahead of offense, pitching ahead of hitting. And that's what it's been proved out to be if you look at those unders.
Do you have any concerns? I'm sorry, Mitch. Do you have any concerns about the ice moving forward and with the three games every day? And also, what do you think about the league? Why a 9:45 puck drop local Chicago time?
Because you're playing six games. Look, there's no perfect. If you want perfection, Paulie, that went out the window in March, right? We have to adapt. We have to understand that in the third game on an ice surface, that there might be bumpy ice and the puck might bounce. This is not perfection. If you're looking perfection, it went out the window a long time ago. I have no problem with a 9:45 start. I have no problem with, you know, playing three games on an ice surface. And the ice surface is just staying relatively well because you don't have the humidity in the building from the fans. But if you're looking for perfection, don't watch this sport because you're not going to get it in these times.
Hey, by the way, to your point about sloppy play, kind of feels like April baseball. I want to go back to the power plays for a second. You're right with that. I mean, the rust factor, the Jets on a 5-on-3 yesterday had only a couple of shots. And I keep going back to this because I had a bet on the Rangers, and I'll ask you about this. What do they do today in net? Do they actually put Lundqvist back out there? Could they make that move? And just their power plays, Dennis, were as bad as I've ever seen. If you want to consider these playoff teams, they had like one shot, and it's like Carolina controlled the puck on two separate power plays. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
And, Mitch, that's the question. The teams that built their success this season on special teams, like, who knows what the chemistry is going to be coming back, right? Brett Mann doesn't look like he's doing anything out there right now. So you got to be careful of those teams that won games because of great power plays. Right. Do I give Rangers a chance? Yeah. It's not been Hank's fault.
Please. Come on, Dennis. He stinks.
I'll tell you the difference in the series, Paulie. The bottom six of the Rangers are doing nothing. Here's the thing. They're playing their fourth line 5-6 minutes a night. Brindamore's playing their fourth lines 10, 11, 12 minutes. There's so much trust in that organization with respect to that team. They're tight. They're getting good goaltending. And people forget about Carolina, Mitch. They went to the conference final last year. They're not some scrub team. Like, they were really good. They got wiped out by Boston in the conference final. They're a really good team. And pound for pound, they're the better team. If you look at the 4-0 they put up against the Rangers this year, the 0-4, like, they outplayed the Rangers in those games. They got great goaltending by Hank. They were opportunistic on the power play, the Rangers. And now it's not happening. So the better team, pound for pound, is winning in that series. So it's not a shock. I wouldn't blame Hank. If they want to go to another goalie, I get it. You want to try to shift the momentum. But this has not been about goaltending. It's been about execution for the Rangers.
Are we done with Mike Smith? And do we see Rene today for Nashville?
We're done with Mike Smith.
Good.
Absolutely. He never should have played in game one.
I agree.
There was a loyalty factor with respect to him and Tippett. They go back to Arizona, right, Dave? So that's it. Do I go with Pekka? I don't know. Pekka would have stopped that first bouncing puck that went over Soros' shoulder because Soros is 5'11", he's 6'6". I would have played Pekka to start. But again, that team is such a mystery, Paulie, Nashville. Like, they should be way better, and they're not. And then they come out and they lose. It wasn't surprising to me because people are waiting and waiting and waiting. Their window to win a Stanley Cup is closing, and it might be even be closed. So I'm not a confident bettor if I'm betting on Nashville today, but I do think it's a long series. I think it's a 5-game series because Arizona doesn't have a great offensive team.
They were talking about this yesterday. Do you think the pressure's off Holtby now that Samsonov's out?
Yeah, I think the pressure's off Holtby because, first of all, these are just – the seeding round games are meaningless. Okay. I know there's a fun game last night between Vegas and Dallas. They're meaningless. I don't think anybody cares if they're 1, 2, 3, or 4, because guess what? If you're going to win a Stanley Cup, you're going to have to win at least 16 games, and you're going to play good teams. So who cares? So I would be really careful in these seeding rounds if I'm a coach. I would protect my star players, maybe play them the second game as a dress rehearsal and sit them out for the third. Right. So I think that's my approach there. So Holtby has been there's no pressure on Washington. They won their Stanley Cup. If they don't win this year, it's probably last, go around for this team. Holtby will probably go. I don't think there's any pressure on Braden Holtby because he does have a ring.
Okay. Follow the money, Paulie and Mitch Vesa and Dennis Bernstein, our guest talking hockey. Let's run through the card today. Good game. Sure. Game one, Islanders won 2-1. I expect the whole series to be low scoring. What do you think the Islanders and Panthers, the totals 5? Again, unders 24, the 28 have gone under since the restart.
Yeah, Paulie, the first two games I lay off the 5 as an over-under. That's a little too low for me because it could be, 3-2. You get a push there. So I do think it's a low-scoring game. The Islanders have played great defense. But this is do or die for Florida. Yep. And they're the one team who's really talented. But, their reputation was they're soft. And they came out and they played soft. Like, if they're going to show anybody they have any juice, this is the game. Right. Other than that, they're going to fold up in the third game. So that 5 is a tough number for me in the first game.
Very disappointed with Calgary yesterday. It's like they took the ice knowing that it was over, or they thought it was over with Winnipeg missing Scheifele. And they really took it to Calgary, the 2 fluke goals that they gave up, and they win 3-2. How about game 3 today, Calgary and Winnipeg? Calgary's $1.50, 5.5 the total. Both games have stayed under.
I don't like Calgary as a team. I don't think they'll go long, Paulie, but I think that was a wake-up call for them in Calgary, losing to Winnipeg without Scheifele and without Laine. I love Winnipeg. If Connor Hellebuck comes up big, they can win that game. I just think the lack of those two guys being out of the lineup again is really going to hurt them. It'd be a tough bet to bet on the Jets. So I'd bet Calgary to bounce back in this game.
Does Toronto bounce back? What was that in game one? Not a lot of scoring opportunities.
Yeah, well, look, it's a clash of styles, and the styles from Columbus, won out. Look, Sheldon Keefe, the Leafs coach, has to tell his team, you have to fight for every inch of ice tonight against that team. They are tenacious. It's a pack mentality. Look, Columbus, the beginning of the season, everybody left. They shot the moon last year. Mm-hmm. They won a playoff round. Everybody left through free agency. Then they got hurt. So people said, this team is done. They're over. And guess what? Tortorella and his team said, watch us. We made the postseason. The great thing about this team that people don't know about, that top pair defenseman, Seth Jones and Werenski, are fantastic. It's going to be another low-scoring game. But again, another duel. And all the pressure's on Toronto. They're expected to win the series, Paulie, because they're not playing Boston. Every year the excuse is they're not playing Boston. Well, now they're playing a team which probably, other than Boston, is the worst matchup for them. Right? And they won that game, so they're feeling really good and really confident. All the pressure's on on Toronto at this point in time. You can need a kid like Nylander. Like, even if you negate the top line, a kid like William Nylander has to come through in game two. He didn't play good in game one. It depends whose style wins out. I just think when you look at all these games, the style is probably going to be a 3-2 game at this point.
How about Minnesota and Vancouver? Vancouver with a no-show. Stalock was great. That's another 5.5 total tonight.
Yeah, I like Vancouver in the series, so I'm going
really?
To bet on a bounce back. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think, look, Pettersson and Horvat played great. Their wingers stunk in game one. They were awful. They got no help. I do like Vancouver because I think they'll have enough offense in this game. I don't like Minnesota. Minnesota's the team that, to be frank, nobody's scared to play Minnesota, Paulie. Nobody doesn't want to play Minnesota in the first round. And the funny thing about them is they, if they get through and the seeding works out, they play great against Vegas.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
Right? Vegas does want to play Minnesota of all teams. I just think there's a lot of talent on Vancouver. I think Travis Green had a nice little talk with his team after game one. Minnesota was really physical against Vancouver. I think that was part of the reason they won, but I expect a bounce back from Vancouver tonight. I don't think it's a short series. I think it's a long one.
How about McDavid? How about that second goal? That was unbelievable to go top shelf on the backhand. What a performance. Thoughts on McDavid last night and also how you see that series now even at one?
I've covered this sport for 25 years. I've never seen a player do what he does at his speed. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. But guess what? Even if they beat Chicago, they're out. You look at the defense, you look at the goaltending, you look at the lack of depth. He's a great player, but I don't think he's going to have an opportunity to prove it in the playoffs for a long time. Yeah. Unless Kenny Holland does something with that team. You watch that team. They could have lost last. They could have easily lost last night. He is fantastic. He's amazing. But is he going to have a legacy? Like, you know, and people say in the state that the NHL doesn't do enough to promote Connor McDavid. And my point is, you know, when you promote a player, when he has a seminal playoff moment. And he has it. He's played in two playoff rounds. This is the third one. Like the great players, like the Gretzky's and the Crosby's and the Ovechkins and the Taves and the Canes, who he's playing on the bench right now. They had great playoff moments. He had his greatest playoff moment was last night in a qualifying game against Chicago, who's a 12 seed and one of the worst teams in the league. Right. Mm-hmm. So he's amazing. He's wonderful. But until he gets a team around him that is better, I think he's destined to have these, you know, maybe a victory in this round. But after that, they play one of the top four seeds. There's no way they're going to be able to defend and have goaltending against the team in the top four that I see.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, all these other teams, and they were down 0-1, obviously, before last night. And these other teams that are down 0-1, and you talk about pressure on the teams like Toronto, Nashville, maybe Vancouver. They don't have a Connor McDavid on their team to come out and go two goals right away before he can blink and then get a hat trick overall. So do you think players in these spots down 0-1, do you think right now they truly are feeling some pressure?
Yeah, I think depending where they play, Paul, Mitch, like Toronto's feeling pressure. That media, you know, they're going to go at it. Like, is Nashville feeling pressure? No, there's like three writers covering Nashville. Like, there's no pressure there. I just think it's the market that you play in. It's the expectations, you know. That's the situation. Was there pressure on Pittsburgh? Absolutely. And
yes.
they didn't run over. And the script is the same in the first two games, right? They came out early. They tried to run over Montreal. They're clearly the better team. And Montreal pushed back. And Carey Price had a great game last night. There was a lot of pressure on Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh, believe it or not, guys, coming into that game, they had lost 7 straight playoff games and were 1-9 in the last 10. Like, they don't win in the postseason anymore. So then they come out and play poorly against it. So there was a lot of pressure. But again, like I mentioned, the great players, who came out and scored the first goal last night? Sid Crosby, because they needed to have play with a lead. So that's greatness. I mean, I'm not saying Connor McDavid is not great. That's the last thing I want to say. He is the best player in the league. But again, I think you benchmark players, you know, legacy with respect to what they do in the postseason, because nobody cares that you scored 7 points against Carolina in November in game 20.
We got about 10 seconds here. What do you think of Seattle's nickname?
Next question.
Next question.
You can follow him on Twitter at DennisTFP. You are the best, man. Good to talk to you again. Thanks for the time.
Mr. Paul, it's always great being on Beeson with you. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Yep. Take care, pal. Enjoy the games. Yeah.
Dinner soon. Dinner soon. Poor guy's locked down. Can't get a steak anymore.
Yeah. I love their logo, the Seattle team.
Yeah.
I thought the colors were awesome. But
here's what I'm saying. I would move that up though with Chicago. I know things aren't.
I don't
understand why the Blackhawks are a ratings juggernaut for the league. I don't know why they're dropping a puck at 9:45 in Chicago on a Monday and a Wednesday.
And what he talked about with McDavid having a seminal moment.
Yeah.
How many people on the East Coast saw it last night? Not a lot.
Yeah.
Back with today's soccer match that could be worth $200 million up next. In 10 minutes, win some, lose some makes an appearance, as will In Pocket, games that we like and we're going to be betting on today. Paul, are you going to have action on this soccer match between Fulham and Brentford? I did see last night Fulham was catching like plus 275 at the Westgate, now down to about plus 250 anyway at Bet Rivers. The draw here is plus 220. Total is 2.5 in the game.
Yeah, I'm taking the under. Heavy juice, minus 150. Bet Rivers, 160. Westgate. Yep, Nigel. Checking in. Fulham looks tired, dealing with some injuries. I don't know if their stud Mitrovic is going to play. Didn't play in the two legs of the who'd they play? Cardiff. So I mean, this is fantastic, right? No big deal. No big deal. Only $220 million on the line to the winner. You know, the loser stays down in the championship. The winner goes to the Premier League, which will start September 12th. And the Brentford story. Spending 59 out of 60 seasons in the third or fourth tier before reaching the championship in 2014. And this innovative owner and analytics, you know, Chris Felica tweeted out a real good article about how analytics and changing things, and they win 3-1 in the second leg of the semifinal against Swansea. So it's right, all the pressure right here. I mean, Fulham, they were just there and they were relegated. See if they get back. But that they've never made the Premier League. And always a doormat, and then to get up to the championship, as we've said many times in the last month, it was right there for them on a silver platter. They'd won 8 in a row. They were playing so well. And they played Stoke, who was at the bottom, near the bottom of the table. All they needed was a point, lost 1-0. Then they just had to beat Barnsley, bottom of the table, lost the game at home, lost. All they had to do was win that. They would automatic promotion. But all they need tonight is, all they need today is a win, and they're going up. So I say KG Nervy under 2.5, minus 150. And if Fulham dealing with those pressures on Brentford, though.
Well, yeah, here's the deal. You're exactly right with that. Now, Brentford on the season, they have a 1-0 and a 2-0 victory over Fulham. Let me give you a couple of quotes here coming from that Brentford side. Good story on, good story that you found anyway. Quote, it's quite obvious for the club. It means everything.
Yeah.
This is what we're fighting for as a club for a lot of years, especially this year. Another quote, we know the financial thing of playing in the Premier League. It's one of the biggest fees, if not the biggest in the world. It's a dream, hopefully come true, to get through to the Premier League. So they absolutely know what they're playing for. They're throwing around stuff like, it means everything. It's a dream hopefully come true. We were talking about how the NHL players will respond today if they feel pressure. And no doubt, Dennis was right, Dennis Bernstein. Maple Leaf players will feel pressure. Today, the Brentford side, how do they not feel the pressure?
And they already were in this position earlier, and they vomited on themselves. They choked against Stoke and Barnsley, against two bad clubs. They couldn't beat Barnsley at home. Knowing what was on the line, automatic promotion. And then that situation presented itself. They went into that Stoke match knowing just to get a point and beat Barnsley, bottom of the table, we're in. Lost.
Yep.
And scored, what, one goal in the two games combined. So, and then they lost 1-0 against Swansea. But then they were fantastic winning 3-1. So, you're right. In this spot already, he hasn't gone well. But all the money that's on the line here, so much on the line.
That is wild. Yep.
Yeah, and the other thing, that's embarrassing. If Toronto can't get by Columbus, it's embarrassing. That collection of talent, all the money you spent, you signed Tavares, and Dennis is right. Well, Boston. Well, we can't beat Boston. Okay, well, here you go.
Right?
And you get that performance out of Anderson in game one, and you waste it.
And you could do nothing with it.
Score. Corpusala was great.
About it if they lose today, Paul. Forget about it then.
Well, with the 2-0, yeah. How surprised were you when you saw that? I almost fell off the couch.
55-1.
55-1 when a team's up 2-0 in a best of five in hockey.
Yep.
55-1, the 85 Islanders.
Well, I mean, that graphic that we showed, that's my picture, actually. It's if I could do it all over again, professional photographer.
Yeah.
But I had to pause the screen. I got the cast on right now because of the ankle surgery. Uh-huh. I had to get my crutches. And I'm like, wait a second, does that say 55-1? And I got about, 2 feet away from the TV with the camera. I'm like, I can't believe that.
I can't believe the game one winner has won 87% of series. That's another
one. That's wild. Yeah. That is nuts.
From 80 to 86 when they had it. If you won game one, you won the series 87%. So.
Just game one we're talking about there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kooky.
All right.
Kooky. Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We will get Wes Reynolds' best bets on the PGA in 15 minutes. We have Win Some, Lose Some, and In Pocket Plays for today coming up next. Major sports back in action. It is the perfect time to experience everything VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, has to offer as we created the Sports Restart Special. I say we like I had something to do with it as an introduction to VSiN so you can have access to everything we offer from now through September 21st. You will receive daily email updates with recaps of the best bets from our guests and hosts, Point Spread Weekly, VSiN's digital sports betting magazine, 24/7 access to our live video stream to watch every VSiN program, all special sports betting guides, including the hockey betting guide. It's the perfect way to see what VSiN has to offer and how our experts can help improve your sports betting experience every single day. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today and get in on the special offer before it expires. Here we go. It is time now for Win Lose.
Rough night.
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night. How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate that. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money Looks Back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
Bad beats, Hurricanes, Rangers over 5.5, 3-1, 17 minutes, second period, 4-1 final. Knights, Stars, first period over 1.5. Knights score 60 seconds in. That was it. A moose, Dallas on the plus 1.5 on the puck line, reverse, plus 1.5, minus 210. They led 3-1 with 10 minutes left. Knights cover the puck line.
That is so bad.
5-3. Four goals in 10 minutes. 5-3 Knights. You knew some of these you can just smell the empty netter coming. Bad for the books.
Absolutely.
Yep, Pacers 7.5 up to 8.5. Pelicans took money as well, and they covered. The under, Grizzlies, Pelicans, not even close. 239 to 236, 109.99. Lose some. Thunder, 4.5 up to 5.5. Lost, up 7 late. Lakers under, 219 down to 217, no good. Calgary, 140 up to 170. Lightning at William Hill, 750 to win in regulation, late second. Won in overtime. They were minus 1,400 in play. Was 2-0 in the second period. It was wild when you see. And then the Blackhawks are up 3 goals. They're only $5 in game one. and win some. The Knights 11-1 at William Hill, down two in the third period. Win some. Blue, I love you. What do we got today? Coconut. Drinking out of the straw. Got the diaper on. The French bulldog that uses his paws with everything. Chopsticks, forks. You got it. Snoring.
Did he fall asleep?
I don't know.
Is that what I heard? Wait, so he's got the Coco Fresca.
Yeah.
He's half pig is what he is. So that's that was a big snort.
Right,
okay.
Here he is. Yeah.
All right.
You got the sandwich. Yeah, he gets into it here. Bread. Here we go.
Hey, Paul, I'm with you. Be careful here, though. Settle down. I want this fellow around for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, they're giving him burritos and fried eggs. They're giving him a lot. Okay. We continue. Paulie does. Listen to him. And Paulie does Vegas on Instagram. Here's the dog at the store on the concrete. Nah, I'm good. Nice and cool. I'm not leaving. Good. Gotta pull him out. Dragging him out of there. He's having a good time. And this is great. We saw the first one with a Rottweiler. This is a Husky. Drive through. The coffee or the whipped cream. Yeah. Thank you. That is great. Hanging out the window. Give me that. And do I have one more? Yes. The putt-putt. All right. He misses the putt.
I think Gally likes the way it looks.
Dog picks it up, puts it in the hole. I got you, buddy. In.
Count it.
Hold on. Wait. High five. Bam! Pound it. That's excellent. That's awesome. Very good. You want to do the other guy in the backyard? One lose some? How good is this? So this family is hysterical, laughing so hard filming this. Guy lives on a golf course. Every time a ball lands in his yard, he lays down next to the golf ball, pretends it hit him. And the reaction is priceless from the guy who comes over, the golfer. You okay? And the guy wakes up, comes to, oh, hit me in the head. Ah. Oh. Look at
what happened there? I blacked out for a minute?
This is Dad every time there's a ball that lands in the yard. Rubbing the head. Okay. I was knocked out. Was this yours? Okay. The women are loving it.
This guy's gotten pretty smooth at this.
Yes.
Right? That's like A game, you know, faking it up right there. That's good. That's really good.
I'd like to meet this guy. Have a beer. That's awesome. Excellent. That's win-lose. All right. In pocket. Let's rock and roll. I got a big card. I got a big menu. I'm going Brentford, Fulham under 2.5, minus 150. Cagey, nervy, a lot on the line, $220 million. That's all. I'm back. No hole-in-one, PGA, no minus 134. Give that a shot. I think Markstrom will bounce back after giving up two horrendous peewee goals in game one. Stalock had the shutout. Wild Canucks under 5.5, 130, the juice. Again, hockey unders 24-4 since the restart. I'll lay one with the Magic. Pacers on a back-to-back. Magic playing well in Orlando. It's over. Hurricanes $1.40. I don't care if it's Richter, Lundqvist, Georgiev, or Pauly and Nets. Hurricanes take them out. Good in-play opportunity, especially if Carolina goes up early. Hurricanes sweep them. Wizards under 1.5 in the 8 seeding games. They're 0-3. And Stars under. No good loser. Capitals Lightning under. Easy winner. Big card.
All right. To today's games. I am on the Minnesota Wild. Ooh. Minus 110.
Yeah.
I disagree with Dennis. I just think they're a better team.
So do I.
And I think they can make a potential run in the actual playoffs. I like the Red Sox today and Eovaldi plus 139 against Tampa. Red Sox can still hit. And Eovaldi, I believe, is the one starter that you can still trust. I know he's going against Charlie Morton. But it's not like Morton has been Cy Young here out of the gates. And I think the Red Sox can absolutely get to him open here on the Blackhawks. Bet it before it started, plus 150 against the Oilers in their series. Yesterday, no good. After a great weekend in pocket with the NBA, gave a couple back yesterday. Rangers, no good. Again, 16 seconds into the game, they take a silly penalty. Looked to me like they were completely unprepared. The entire performance from everybody, top to bottom, was just...
I don't understand. This is ridiculous to play Lundqvist. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
He puts you in a hole again with just a terrible goal to start.
Yep. No good. And they tied it up. And then again, right away, second period, yep. Two goals before he could blink, and it's 3-1, and it's over with. And I'm sorry. On the Mets Braves. What an air by Osuna in left field. And then Soraka blows the ACL out for the year.
No. Yeah. Yep. Palm Reader's playbook. Let's go. Bieber first five. Minus 150. That's a group one. Wild Canucks, first period under. He's been hitting a lot of these with the first period unders. Islanders, group two play. Blue Jackets, I'm with them. Columbus looked like the better team to me. Toronto did nothing in game one. Let's see what they're made of. You get that? That's scary that Anderson played like that and you still lost. Wasted it. Columbus plus 135. Calgary, Winnipeg under first period. Giolito plus money. Dodgers, Padres first five under 4.5. Palm read.
This will give us his best bets for the PGA Championship, our first major of the year coming up next.
We're loving the hockey, and if you checking it out, go to Bet Rivers Sportsbook. They're live streaming two games every day. If you haven't tried live betting with hockey, now's your chance to both bet on and watch the game on your phone. Tonight you can live stream two full NHL games. Go to Bet Rivers to get in on the action. Remember, a $250 match bonus on your first deposit. All bonuses are a one-time playthrough. No faster way to turn your bonus cash into real cash. Visit the Bet Rivers Sportsbook today. Must be 21. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. Playable in New Jersey is Play Sugar House.
All right. Time to welcome in Wes Reynolds, host of Long Shots, along with Brady Cannon, the world's number one rated golf betting show. You can get it at vsin.com/podcast. Wes, we're going to get your best bets for the PGA Championship this week coming up. Thanks for the time. I want to begin with this. I read this last night on this course, Harding Park in San Francisco. Is this accurate? They have two par fives the way it looks, measuring 607 yards. That's hole number four. And the 10th hole is 562. And they also have six par fours, 450 yards in length or more. So when you read something like that going into a golf course and handicapping a tournament, obviously you're going to like, you know, ball strikers and Captain Obvious here checking in, guys with long driving distance, correct?
Yeah, I think so, Mitch. I mean, this looks on the surface a little bit like it's going to be kind of that bomb and gouge golf where it hit the crap out of it off the tee and wherever it lands, if it lands in the rough, then just gouge it out of there, which is what guys have been doing. But a couple things at play this week that might conflict with that. The rough, according to initial observations from people that are out at the course this week, rough's about 4 inches high. So it's about as high as it's been since they've restarted play. And if you recall the Memorial a few weeks ago, it was about 3.5 inch high rough. And those guys really struggled with the conditions, especially on the weekend when the wind started blowing. And you're going to get the wind blowing this week at Harding Park. So the fairways are going to be a little bit more narrow than the guys have been used to with recent courses. And you talk about those long holes, Mitch. It also has a couple risk and reward par fours on 7 and 16, which are in the middle 300s. One is about 380. I think 7's a little bit longer than 16, but you're going to see some guys that'll try it on and try to drive the green in one on those two holes. Maybe 16 is going to be a little bit more amenable for that. But yeah, longer hitters, because this course measures out at about 7,200 yards, a little bit more. It's only a par 70, but probably with the wind and such, it's going to play like about 7,500 or 7,600 yards.
Okay, here on a Tuesday morning then, and obviously you probably add a little bit more to the card as the weeks as the week progresses with the matchups, the top fives, tens, etc. But who are you on early here?
Yeah, I'm going back to a guy that we talked about last week, and I was on him a few weeks ago, and he was a very popular choice in the market yesterday with some sharp guys, which I don't know if that's going to make me feel great or make me feel bad that the boat's getting overloaded on him. But Xander Schauffele, who I took it at 25-1, five top sixes the last 3 years in majors, a top three or better in every major with the exception of the PGA. Didn't come in for us at Memphis, finished tied for sixth, nine under par, was bogey three on both Thursday and Saturday, only finished four back. But if you look at the stats, especially the strokes gained stats, he was 74th out of 78 players in the field for strokes gained approach. So he lost almost 5.5 strokes with his irons last week, and he's a much better iron player than that. His strength is off the tee, but it was really the iron play that kind of cost him. He's a really good scrambler, led the field in Memphis for strokes gained around the green. So going with the Southern California kid there and another Southern California kid, they're kind of at the top of the board for me, both Xander and Patrick Cantlay, who I took at 28-1. He's probably around 25 right now, but a guy that I think has played solid. He's shown he's got the game to contend at majors. He was T3 at Bethpage last year, tied for ninth at the Masters. We actually watched that early morning Masters last year together, Mitch, at the Westgate with a group of folks from VSiN, when he had the outright lead for a brief spell, and I had him and I'm like, oh, I'm feeling good. And then he hit one in the trees and so he went, but shot 8 under on the weekend last weekend. He only finished tied for 35th, but was fourth best in the field, shooting 65 and 67 on the weekend. So maybe that's that buy sign that I talked about when Rahm shot that 64 on Sunday out of contention and then went on to win the Memorial the following week. Good approach game, good tee to green game. I think Cantlay should go well here.
Okay. Any long shots or mid-tier guys you're looking at or and any juicy tidbits this week?
Yeah, I'll start with the mid-tier guys. One that I mentioned on Sunday that I liked last week, I go, Jason Day really found something. Because if you look at his recent form, 7th, 5th, and 6th, the Workday Memorial, and then last week at Memphis, he has not played this well in a little over 2 years because he's had a lot of injuries, a lot of swing changes. He actually dropped out of the top 60 in the official world golf rankings. He was first a few years ago, former world number one. He actually has recently split with his longtime swing coach. This was about a month to 6 weeks ago, Colin Swatton, who was a one-time caddy for him and kind of a longtime mentor. So he's getting back to basics, and it's always difficult to have a split like that. But the results, at least in the short term, has been good. The short game's always really good for Jason Day. Second in strokes gained around the green, fourth in sand saves, but the ball striking's been better. He was top 10 in the field last week in the approach. The irons have always kind of been, I guess if you want to call it, the weakest part of his game. But he's a guy that likes the West Coast, too. He's won a couple times at Torrey Pines, usually pretty good at Pebble Beach. He was fourth there earlier this year when he was completely out of form. And likes the bent grass Poa Anua greens, which that's what they're going to have here at Harding Park this week. And I also really like him in the wind. If the wind is going to blow in the mid-teens to like 20 miles an hour, he's one of those guys I kind of like in the mid-tier. Matsuyama, actually another one, because I think that's the great equalizer with the ball striking being good and his putting is always terrible, even though he only lost 0.6 strokes on the green for four rounds, which is really a victory for Matsuyama when you see some of his putting stats. So those are the guys in the 40 range. I did bet Finau last week just to fit a narrative to think that he's finally going to break through when we least expect it because he's been so close so many times, 30 top 10 without a win on the tour since 2016-2017 season. So those are the mid-range guys. And then some of the longer shots, I went with some Europeans that I think might play well in some windy conditions. Sergio Garcia being one of them in about the 80-90-1 range. He's still one of the best drivers of the golf ball on the tour. So I think he could surprise here. Putting is poor, but maybe he's going to be motivated to go on and say, well, I turned 40 in January, but I'm not willing to go that into that good night, so to speak, because he's seen young Rahm, his countryman from Spain, go to number one, even though he lost the ranking to Thomas last weekend. So Sergio and then a couple other guys, Shane Lowry, who I saw was at in the triple digit to one range. And this is kind of one of those little tidbits I was taught. You were mentioning, Paulie, his regular caddy named Bo Martin returned last week from his paternity leave. So he got back on the bag from Shane Lowry last week. He'd been missing for a little bit of while, and Lowry got some momentum. He had not had a top 10 finish on either the PGA Tour or the European Tour since he won at Royal Portrush for the Open Championship last summer. But last week, second in strokes gained around the green, second in scrambling, sixth in tee to green, seventh in greens in regulation, second in strokes gained approach during the final round on Sunday. So I think getting that caddy back that he's had so much success with may have spurred him on for some momentum. And look, he's a 26th in the world, and he's one of only four guys that have a current major championship trophy on the trophy case, Koepka, Woods, and Gary Woodland being the other. So Lowry and then also Danny Willett, who I bet a couple weeks ago after the Memorial. Good win player, was third here actually back in 2015 at the match play. Lost in the semifinals to Woodland and then beat Furyk in the third place match. So these guys, I think, will like these windy conditions out in San Francisco.
Like 2 minutes left here, Wes. Are you fading Tiger in matchups this week?
I probably will go against him maybe in one or two. I know our buddy Jeff Sherman is against him in pretty much every single matchup, and I can't really argue with that simply because he just doesn't have the reps. And Brady and I do a segment on long shots every week called Tiger Traffic to kind of see what he's doing, when he's going to be playing and whatnot. And he just doesn't have the reps here. And I mentioned several weeks ago, you know, the Masters is always the major where you're going to predict him because he's had so much success there. And he's got the last green jacket they've given out. But I kind of like him a little bit more for the U.S. Open because I think that's going to be a grinder type of course. It's going to be long. It's going to be hard. The USGA has got 3 months to kind of dummy it up from the summer and really grow the rough out and speed up the greens. So I don't really like him this week just because he doesn't have any reps. He's only played the Memorial. I mean, he can go on and win here. He's won on this course before, and I think it was 05. He beat John Daly, actually, on the third playoff hole. So that tells you that Bombers should succeed at Harding Park, just going all the way back then. But he just doesn't have the reps for me to be that interested in him this week.
All right. Very good. You can follow Wes on Twitter at WesReynolds1. He does the show here called Long Shots with Brady Cannon. Get it at vsin.com/podcast. It'll be out later on today. Wes, good luck this week. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks for having me on, fellas.
Thank you.
Take care, pal.
Nice work. Props, baby. Got the props too.
We got an email, by the way, from Chris.
Yes.
I work at a country club. We will ask members if they like a caddy today. Response, nah, not today. I have a bad back. Chris says two things, in and out of the cart, no good for the back. And bad back, huh? But go golf. Sure. Makes sense.
That was good. That can take off in the future with that. Good segment.
Yeah. Good luck today.